a clunker on Monday night turns into actually a pretty good game. Cooper Rush 2-0 as quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, but we might have some updates to that. And also, let's talk a little bit about Tua here on the Locked On NFL podcast.
You are Locked On NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode of Locked On NFL is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Just pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you'll win up to 10 times your money on entry. First-time users even get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Here today with David Harrison in place of Ross Jackson, who is currently somewhere over the Atlantic Ocean, headed to London, where his team and my team will play. I'll actually be there with him later this week. So David Harrison is filling in, who does Locked On Commanders, Locked On Bucks. I do Locked On Vikings. So let's talk about a couple of division rivals of those Washington Commanders, yeah. Giants, Cowboys. Sort of a stinker in the first, what was it, 6-3 at halftime?
Yeah, it was a low scoring affair for the most part. And then the second half picked up, you know, a little bit. I think the Saquon Barkley touchdown kind of woke people up just a little bit. But I mean, a hard fought divisional game. I thought maybe for a minute there that the New York Giants might actually pull it off and start 3-0 and shock everybody. That would be a great story. But, you know, eventually the Dallas Cowboys pull it out. CeeDee Lamb remembers that he's an NFL wide receiver. And
what a weird night for him.
CeeDee
Lamb, brutal drop at the beginning. He's streaking open downfield, what could be a touchdown, like one man to beat for a touchdown, and then drops it. And just one of those brutal things that can ruin your whole night. So good on him for coming out of the locker room, coming out of halftime, and basically just having a give me the ball, I'm doing this myself kind of drive to answer that Saquon Barkley touchdown. Giants were up 6-13, and then CeeDee Lamb takes one over, ties it back up. Cowboys get a stop, go down, score again, and that turned out to be all it needed. Ends on a Trevon Diggs interception. I think it was David Sills fell down on his route on the same play elsewhere in the play. Sterling Shepard's knee blows up, non-contact. Hate to see that kind of thing. Wasn't even running full speed. Just kind of slowed down, stepped awkwardly, totally collapsed, had to be carted off. Wish the best to him. But this is another one of these Giants games. We get a lot of them on Tuesdays on Locked On NFL covering Monday Night Football because they're on Monday Night Football a lot, being the New York team.
Yeah.
They're so frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I haven't watched a lot of Giants football. You know, fortunately for me, the Commanders and Giants don't play till later in the season. So, I mean, you know, the Giants that we're going to see in weeks 1-4 don't really apply to who we're going to get in week, you know, 14 or whatever it is the first time they play. They play twice in 3 weeks, but they're all towards the last, you know, 5 or 6 weeks of the season. So I haven't had to watch a whole lot of it. I am a fan of Saquon. I'm actually a fan of Sterling Shepard. He's on my dynasty fantasy roster in our league. He will remain there, but now obviously he'll end up on the IR, and I'll try to pick somebody else up that might be able to get me a win for once in this season.
Oh, we'll have to
You know, what's that?
We'll have to talk later.
Yeah, absolutely. Always the dealing door is always open. But really, you know, I came in as looking for the Dallas Cowboys because, as you mentioned, you know, I cover the Commanders. I'll be in Dallas next weekend. Not as amazing a trip as London, but I'll take Dallas, you know, over some places. Absolutely. But I'll get to go visit Jerry's World and look at that. So I was kind of looking to see what this Dallas Cowboys offense and defense, especially defense after what happened. 9 sacks against the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend for the Commanders. And yeah, Micah Parsons is obviously a guy that everybody's going to need to know. And then CeeDee Lamb, you know, the drop was brutal, right? I'm not a big fan of people laughing or smiling after drops like that. He wasn't the only one. I saw a glimpse of a coach or an assistant or someone on the sideline who was also laughing after the drop. For CeeDee, I kind of look at it as like, you know, you laugh so you don't cry type of a situation. It's,
yeah, you kind of gotta, you deal with it however you like. That's just how you emote, right?
The coach on the sideline, though, I don't know if I like the coach on the sideline laughing about it, like your assistant. I don't know what in. And honestly, I don't even know what his position is. I just know he has a headset on. So I mean, I just kind of throw the coach tag out there at him. But you know, at the end of the day, the focus that returns is what the key is. Like you mentioned, good on him coming up for his team. You know, when they need him the most. And I mean, at the end of the day. 12 targets, 8 catches, 87 yards, and a touchdown. You can't poo-poo on that. So obviously some talent on that side of the ball. But I think honestly, Luke, like the NFC East looks wide open, you know, and I don't know how much better Dak makes the Cowboys, but I think that the NFC East is wide open behind Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia right now is clearly the cream of the crop there in the NFC East. We'll see, you know, what happens the first time the Cowboys and Eagles meet and all that stuff. But I think that this is a division that's just very, very close from top to bottom. And I think tonight kind of showed that.
Yeah. If the Eagles don't win the NFC East, something spectacularly bad has happened.
Yeah. Feels like it.
Yeah. Like that has to be like one of those, you know, 6-0 start and then finish 2-8 kind of collapses. Something like that has to happen to Philadelphia, which, you know what, in the NFC East, stranger things have certainly happened. So, you know, it ain't over till it's over. But with Dallas, especially, and I'm thinking and from the vantage point of like, if you're the Commanders watching this after giving up 9 sacks and you see, what was it, 6 against Daniel Jones? And none of them were Micah Parsons.
Right. Parsons Micah was definitely.
He wasn't even on the field for some of them.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, when he was like, he was, you know, his presence was felt, you know, definitely what was felt. But I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence had a night. And, you know, I don't know that that's just, you know, I from the way it looked to me, it's not that you can say the Giants are just overloading for Micah. Cause like you said, he wasn't even on the field for some of those. And even when he was, it's not just like, you know, they're leaving him out there and forgetting that he exists because you're never going to forget that Lawrence exists. So, I mean, you know, it's just one of those games that kind of shows you that the Dallas Cowboys have talent throughout the defense. I don't know if they have the best defense in the National Football League, but they do have talent at every level and they can do some things, you know, some inexperienced offensive linemen, you know, Evan Neal had a rough night for himself, and some interior linemen certainly didn't hold their own.
Welcome to the NFL, for him.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, it's one of those divisions that, you know, people are going to try to get after you. People are going to try to take deep shots, and they're going to try to make big things happen. And I think it makes football fun to watch again. The first half, you didn't get a whole lot of it. You know, if you liked people getting after the quarterback, you had a good night. The offense got going a little bit better in the second half, but I think it just shows you how competitive it is. But Luke, I mean, so I actually we had a little bit of a talk on Locked On Bucks podcast for our Tuesday episode about this. James and I, through the first 3 weeks, right? We're not even through a quarter of the season yet, but through the first 3 weeks, it looks to us like the Minnesota Vikings are the best team in the NFC North.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, beating the Packers is like, it's between the Vikings and Packers feels close right now. That first week one game was pretty fluky. Like, I don't think what happened in that game was not sustainable. The Packers came with a very dumb game plan. They lost that game before it kicked off. Yeah. And that won't happen again to them. So I don't know if that, and like, you know, the Eagles come in, they go to Philadelphia and just get absolutely punked by the Eagles. So it's like, okay, maybe they're inconsistent.
That's true.
I think the Lions are better than they get credit for.
Yep.
The Bears are not. The Bears are a very fraudulent 2-1.
Yeah.
But it's, absolutely. You know. I would say it's a lot closer than I thought going in, but I would still, I don't know. I could see the argument that the Vikings are the best team in the NFC North right now.
I think they are. And look, I'm not big on the Packers. I mean, I'll admit that I'm not big on the Packers. I wasn't in preseason.
That's the case,
I haven't seen anything to change my mind. You know, the Buccaneers should have come away with that win. I know a lot of people are building this thing to be Aaron Rodgers beating Tom Brady, but really it's, you know, there's two key fumbles in that game that give that game away to the Packers. And if not, you know, the Packers dropping another one, and they probably should have dropped another one. So I don't know, man, that's just a take that I had. So while we're sitting here together, I figured I'd get your take on that.
Lob it out there.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It's hard to argue. Like, is it the Vikings, Packers, or Lions? Well, the Vikings beat both of those other two teams. So it is pretty hard to argue with that.
Right.
Don't look too far into that week one game though. There was some fluky stuff going on in that game that I don't think will repeat itself with these two teams meet again. But sure, we'll take it for now. Hey, first place on tiebreakers. That's can't argue with that.
Absolutely. And you know, look, Romeo Doubs, I mean, you know, you can't deny that Aaron Rodgers, Romeo Doubs certainly starting to look like, they're on the same page. And I'm sure the Packers always feel good about being on the same page, Luke. And I know that whenever I am playing fantasy, right, we talked about dynasty fantasy leagues that we have going on with the network. Whenever my guys are on the same page, it's a good feeling. It's only happened a few times in the 2 years that we've been running this league, but I still hold on to those moments, just like I hold on to the moments where I nail my prize picks projections, because I'm not a huge daily fantasy guy, but ever since the good folks over at Prize Picks have joined the ranks as a sponsor of this network, I've certainly gotten more and more into it. And if our listeners and viewers haven't checked it out yet, Prize Picks is a new way to do daily fantasy football, because in other daily fantasy leagues, you're going up against other competitors, other players who have their own algorithms, and maybe they have some inside information that you didn't have. And you not only have to pick the right roster, pick the right players, but you also got to beat their rosters and their players. At Prize Picks, it's you versus the projections. It's really simple. You pick 2 to 5 players, you make your roster, and you pick whether or not they're going to come in with less than the Prize Picks projected stats or more than the Prize Picks projected stats. If you hit, you win, and you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. First time users, you can get a 100% deposit match up to $100 by using the promo code Locked On when you sign up. So again, go to prizepicks.com or download the Prize Picks app, use that promo code Locked On, and get into the right way of playing daily fantasy football.
All right, so there's an elephant in the room here I guess we haven't really discussed, but Cooper Rush is 3-0 in the last 3 years as a starter. Can we talk about that? So I feel obligated to just ask the question, even though I feel like it's kind of a dumb one. Is there anything real here, or is this just a backup happening to win a few good games against some teams that were like having weird nights?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, you know. I mean, the level of competition is going to be in question, because even though the Giants came into this game undefeated 2-0 to start the season, you know, it's still the New York Giants, and a lot of people still don't expect a whole lot. Like if I were to tell you that the New York Giants finished this season 2-15, you might be a little bit surprised when they start 2-0, but it's not going to be like the craziest thing you've ever heard in your entire life, because that's just how people view the New York Giants right now. But I mean, look, I think in the NFL, it's hard, period. I don't care what level you're in. I don't care or what division you're in. I don't care if you're a starter or backup, to come in on the biggest stage, Monday Night Football, especially division rivals, all that stuff, and to perform. And look, when the Cowboys did falter, especially in the passing game, it wasn't Cooper Rush. Like I didn't see any throws or any plays where I can look at it and say, that's a backup quarterback, or that's a play Dak makes for them. Now, the athleticism obviously is a different level between Dak and Cooper, but talking about from a pocket presence and a passing situation, any incomplete passes, and it's a one-time watch through, right? And I don't cover the Cowboys, so I probably won't do a second time watch through, but I don't have any passes where I go back there and say, yep, that's where Dak makes the throw that Cooper just didn't make. I mean, not the biggest arm in the world, but I mean, the dude has an NFL arm, and I mean, he's going out there putting balls in the right place for his guys.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like a little bit more hidden than that with the difference. I mean, obviously you're going to want Dak Prescott in more than you're going to want Cooper Rush in, right? We're not actually talking about like replacing quarterback. Some people are. That's buck wild. But I mean, can you identify what the difference is, right? And it might be hard to do because it's kind of hidden, because what plays are you calling when Dak Prescott is out that you aren't calling when Cooper Rush is there? So everything Cooper Rush did, I mean, some of those deep bombs were actually really nice balls down the sideline, or on like deep overs and stuff. Yeah. But those are, a lot of times those are designed to get real big throwing windows.
Right.
It feels like, you know, Cooper Rush's job is don't screw this up. And it's like the perfectest backup game. This is what you want. Like if you're the Cowboys, you have to feel so good about your backup situation, but this doesn't become something where like, I don't want to see him in a quarterback competition next offseason, like trying to, you know, beat out a rookie in Seattle or something like that. Like that is a bridge too far for me, but really good backup game. Hey, don't go screw things up, make the right reads, deliver the ball to playmakers. And let's all be talking about CeeDee Lamb first. You know, let's talk about CeeDee Lamb and Ezekiel Elliott and Micah Parsons at the end of this game. And let's not be talking about you. That's the backup's job, if you ask me. And I think Cooper Rush did that perfectly. And you wish you could ask more of him, but that's what you're getting with a backup. So how much more of this are the Cowboys trying to deal with here? Because they're 2-0 with Cooper Rush. Yeah. they have to play any more games with Cooper Rush? Like, what's the timeline on this?
I mean, so you remember originally, right, Jerry Jones came out, and I think the timeline Jerry put on it was like 4 to 6 weeks. I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something like 4 to 6 weeks. And if it's 4 to 6 yeah. weeks from week one, obviously you're talking, you know, week five to week seven, right? So it's you're looking at missing Washington and coming back for whoever Dallas has in week five. But today, well, Monday, actually, I heard a little bit of a rumor. And again, it's not a confirmed, it's not like a report by any means, anything like that. It's just a little bit
of whispers in the wind.
Yeah, we'll call it educated speculation that Dak Prescott may actually be looking to come back next week against the Washington Commanders. And then pregame, you know, with ESPN's Lisa Salters, I saw a report that he told Lisa Salters, you know, and it's kind of weird how he worded it, but basically she asked him kind of how the recovery was going. And, you know, he said, oh, she'll be back in a couple of weeks. And this week counts as one, right? Like this week counts as one week. So if you're back in a couple of weeks, well, a couple is two. If this is week one, next week is week two.
It's like hinting,
so if you're back in the second week, then that's washed, really. But it, like, the way he said it is just kind of like almost like a double negative type of deal. And I saw another report that said that he's getting his stitches out tonight. You know, I look. It's one of those situations that kind of had to play it by ear, and to a certain extent, almost like, you look at, you're the Dallas Cowboys, you're 2-1 now. You still have Cooper Rush potentially in there. The Washington Commanders are coming in, and they've had some struggles with game planning against opponents and having communication issues. So if you force them to game plan for you with Cooper and with Dak, because maybe Dak comes back, that only works out in your favor. You know what I mean? It may not be the difference between getting a win or a loss, but it works out in your favor. So keep the mystery alive and make the Commanders plan for two different types of quarterbacks to come in and face you in your home stadium, them coming off of an embarrassing loss, you coming off of a very exhilarating road win. And I think that just makes the most sense. The reality of it, you know, Cam Curl, Commander safety, injured his thumb, had to have minor surgery, and basically was waiting on the stitches to heal in his thumb. He missed the first two games. So basically you're looking at about a 3-week recovery process for Cam. Dak does the same thing week one. 3 weeks would put him right at week four, but you're talking the difference between a quarterback and a safety. Cam went out there, played week three with a splint over his thumb because he's a safety. He can do that. Dak can't do that on that thumb, especially on the throwing hand. So I'm leaning that Dak doesn't play against Washington. This is more smoke and mirrors to complicate the game plan. But, I mean, it's the NFL, and it's Dak Prescott. You never know.
Yeah, and again, if you're a Cowboys fan, you're not, like, sweating over this, right? Like, you're feeling pretty good.
Not at 2-1. Yeah.
Not at 2-1. Not with the way
that comes back, you feel pretty good.
Not with Carson Wentz coming to town and the way that D-line is playing. Yeah, that feels pretty good. And I guess as the Giants at a 2-1, if you're the actual Giants, like if you're Giants fans, I hope you didn't convince yourself that this was secretly a Super Bowl year. If you're the actual Giants, you're, I mean, let's all live in the world. But like, if you're the actual Giants, you're trying to pick up the pieces from this and move on and try to make something out of this 2-1 start and see if you can't steal a wild card spot. It's a weirdly soft NFC. You got a couple wins in your back pocket. See if you can't rattle some more off and get somewhere. I don't know. These teams are a little more interesting, I guess, than you would have thought preseason. If you told me, you know, the Giants and the Cowboys are going to be without Dak Prescott, there's still something worth paying attention to. But I actually want to flip next to Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins, 3-0, next to the Eagles, probably the most earned 3-0. You know, the earned wins in the league. There are a lot of 2-0 teams that didn't feel like they necessarily earned it. Those two teams look like they're for real. So let's get into that next. Locked On NFL Podcast with David Harrison. I'm Luke Braun. I'm going to be honest. I don't have a great sense for who Tua is this year. I had a decent sense for him being a sort of like a really safe quarterback, I guess is the way that I understood him. But I also am fairly unfamiliar with the Dolphins. I like what they're building over there. It looks pretty cool from a distance, but I admit I am from a distance. Help fill me in on what I should give me a Tua opinion. I'm just going to steal your Tua opinion and pass it off as my own. Can you do that for me?
I think Tua Tagovailoa, you know, I think the big thing for him and the Miami Dolphins this season was really finding or seeing a smarter quarterback, right, when they made better decisions and put the ball in harm's way a little bit less. And obviously, I'm not going to give you as in-depth of an opinion on Tua Tagovailoa as say, Kyle Krabs would, the host of the Locked On Dolphins podcast, because obviously this is what he does on a daily basis. But Tua is a guy that I've been paying attention to. I do have his top two receivers on separate fantasy leagues, and both of them are money leagues, which means everybody out there knows that means I care more about them than I do some other leagues. And sure. I drafted both of those guys because I saw them in Tampa during training camp, and I saw them in the preseason. I saw what they were doing, and I kind of saw the offense that they were kind of running, because one of the great things about these joint training camp practices is they go out there and these teams typically, you know, I'm not saying they unveiled their entire playbook by any means, but they do more in those joint practices against each other than they would in, say, a preseason game. Because preseason game, everybody can see them, and you got all 22 and you got Game Pass and all this other craziness that you can all go back and see it. So this is an opportunity for them to do a little bit of install against a live opponent and see how things kind of work out. And what I saw was a lot of crossers, a lot of drags, a lot of in-breaking, out-breaking routes. Just basically what they're looking to do is get Tua looks where his receivers are running perpendicular to opponents and to defenders instead of straight lines or deep posts, stuff like that. But then use those as kind of like the body blows, right, and set up those deep chances, which you've seen, like the wide open Tyreek Hill. Guess what? If he underthrows a wide open Tyreek Hill, it's still going to be a completion. And we've seen that so far this season. There was a wide open deep ball to Tyreek, which is actually left behind him and underthrown. But because Tyreek is so far ahead of his guy, it doesn't actually matter. And he ends up with the big play anyway. That's exactly what I saw in training camp, is what made me excited about those receivers. As long as Tua could remain smart, and even in practice, he looked very smart. Now, the concern I have about Tua now, and this really relates kind of next week and maybe even the week after, depending, is this whole health concern, right? And sure, you know, for me, like a coach, you know, a lot of time coaches, and you look at the Justin Herbert situation with the Los Angeles Chargers, I saw a report pregame on Sunday that's they're trying to convince him not to take the painkiller and to not go play, to think about the long term and all this other stuff. And I will always say, like, these guys aren't kids. These are all fully grown adults. You know what I mean? They're all men, and they all have the right to have an influence and to make some of their own decisions. But at the same time, you're the coach. It's your job to run the team. And there needs to be, in my opinion, this is a personal opinion type thing, but there needs to be a certain level of care that is imposed on people, because these are all competitors. These are guys who have just, they've been bred to fight and to go out there. And if they can walk on the field, they're going to walk on the field. Exactly. Gladiators. Tua Tagovailoa, listen, I'm not a neurosurgeon. I'm not any type of neurological doctor, right? But come on, guys. Like, I've seen some people on Twitter talking about, like, oh, all of a sudden all these guys have medical degrees. You don't need a medical degree to see that when Tua Tagovailoa falls backwards, hits his head on the field, is very, very obviously trying to shake the cobwebs out of his head, stands up, is wobbly, kind of collects himself, damn near collapses on the field because he can't actually keep his legs underneath him, has to be held up by two of his teammates to the point where one of his linemen is waving medical over, saying, look, this guy needs some help. That's not a back injury. Now, the thing that I have conflicting about this is I truly believe that Mike McDaniel is the type of head coach that cares about his players, and his reputation is as such. And you know, I don't know Mike. I've got the chance to talk to him a little bit in training camp. Fortunately, it was a blast. But I know people who know Mike, and they kind of all kind of say the same thing. Like, this is not a guy who would do that or allow this to happen. So there's kind of a conflicting feeling there. But I mean, man, I look at Tua, and I just worry that this is a young man who he's been questioned since he got drafted. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, that whole thing happened. The Tom Brady story, they were trying to trade for him and everything. Like, this is a guy who has literally been doubted at pretty much every level that he's played football. He is not willing to give up that starting job for anything, and he's going to risk, you know, the future health of his brain in order to stay on the field. And it's concerning to me if there's any type of, you know, mixed medicine kind of going on here.
And there's supposed to be somebody for that, right? Like, when you're in the moment, in the heat of the moment, especially if you're, you know, dealing with a concussion too, you're like not thinking straight. It's hot out. Yeah. Your adrenaline's pumping. You need kind of somebody a little more removed from the situation to make that decision for you, because, like, safety should be the highest priority. Like that right. shouldn't be debatable. And sometimes I've seen people talking about this. It feels like it, you know, there's a little bit of man up, get out there. And it's like, well, yeah. no, that's not how we do things. It's not the '70s. We're not putting on our, you know, leather 1930s helmet and getting out there and just watching our brains melt by the time we're 65.
Yeah.
But I think the NFL, especially when it comes to CTE, but pretty much any like bad PR issue just doesn't, we don't have, they have not earned the trust of watching people, like of the watching public yeah. to like trust that they're going to do right by their players.
Right.
You can say all you want that there's a guy for that. You know, there's a concussion guy that should have the, you know, the players back, just like there's a team doctor that's, you know, is going to have the players back while shooting him up with Toradol yep. for the 19th time this year.
Yep.
That kind of thing is everywhere in the NFL. You don't have to take my word for it. Just Google it.
Yeah.
And it is kind of an unfortunate reality that you have to reconcile with as a fan, but at a certain point, you would hope that some real change happens, mm-hmm. but I just don't have any faith in that. And the NFL hasn't earned any faith in that.
No.
Like, I don't have any benefit of the doubt when they come out and say, yeah, no, Tua was totally fine. When Ian Rappaport tweets that, no, Tua was totally fine. We know how that sausage is made. I have absolutely no faith in it. I hope he's all right. I hope he can keep playing. And if he isn't all right, then I hope to God he doesn't play in on this short week, by the way.
Right. You just hope someone like his family, you know what I mean? Someone right. his wife is kind of applying to, you know, the long-term kind of prognosis stuff. It reminds me of RG3, you know, when he was in Washington and, you know, his knee is obviously not good. At a certain point, but he's out there trying to fight for his team and trying to go out there for his teammates, and you love the spirit of it
the rest of his life.
Yeah. And then Mike Shanahan, you know, I remember vividly Mike Shanahan, you know, the player wanted to play, you know, medically. And that's basically what it boils down to, is everybody passes the buck and then puts the ownership on the young guy. I'm trying to avoid saying the word kid, but young guy who is out there trying to earn their keep, trying to impress the veterans, try to, you know, control the locker room, especially Warriors. As quarterbacks, and try to earn the respect of the locker room. And, you know, so you got a doctor saying, well, you know, technically, yeah, you can run on it. Like structurally, yeah, I wouldn't recommend it, but you can do it if you really want to. And then the coach says, okay, well, what do you want to do? So they all pass the buck back on to the player. But if the player, it's a lose-lose. If the player says, okay, no, I'm not going to play.
Yeah.
What's the narrative on that now? You know, so it's basically a lose-lose situation. And I just, you know, I just wish we saw more and more coaches taking the health of these young guys and the long-term health of their team, honestly, into more consideration. And more so I'm talking now the Justin Herbert situation, because again, this Tua thing, I applaud the NFLPA for seeing what everybody else saw, you know, launching an investigation. But honestly, outside of Tua basically telling the NFLPA, yeah, bro, I had a concussion and I allowed them to lie, went with the lie type of deal, nothing's going to happen from it.
Right.
And
if Tua's
already in this mindset, yeah, it's a done deal. So really, I'm talking about Justin, where we've already had learned that the team was trying to talk to him about his long term. Look, you don't need to talk to him about anything. You're the coach. You set the inactives. It's very simple. Justin Herbert, inactive week 3. Done. Long term health is taken care of. That concern is already taken. And if he wants to be mad, he can be mad all you want. I made a decision a long time ago, Luke, that if people are going to be mad about me caring about them, I will take that anger upon my shoulders. I'm okay to carry that kind of anger. You know what I mean? And to me, that's what you don't see specifically in the Herbert situation. I fear in the Tua situation, but not confirmed. So, you know, it just, that's where I wish that this game would go. But I know there's equal parts of people listening to this or watching this right now saying, you know, rub some dirt on it and be tough. Look, I was in the Army for 20 years. I used to have a saying, there's a difference between tough and stupid. Tough is sitting in a foxhole in below zero temperatures in the snow in the dead of winter, because you have to protect your perimeter and protect all the people sleeping and working inside of it. That's tough. Standing in the cold for 30 minutes to prove you can stand in the cold for 30 minutes is stupid. So toughness and stupidity are very, very close to each other. And to me, the situation specifically going on with Herbert is stupidity.
Yeah. And that's not to mention anything of the Chargers medical staff and their recent history, but that's got to be a topic for another day. You can listen to more of this. Of course, you'll have a pretty good Locked On Thursday night preview coming up over the next couple of days on Locked On NFL. Bengals Dolphins is the Thursday night game. I believe you can listen to James Rapine of Locked On Bengals and Tony Wiggins of the Red Hot Jaguars, Locked On Jags, talk tomorrow. So we will see you all then. For David Harrison, I'm Luke Braun here on the Locked On NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, free and available on all platforms, your team every day.